the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. By special request from some listeners, today's program is about creationism and cosmology, the study of the origin of the universe. And of course, God and Country is not a creation science think tank. But nevertheless, the whole subject of cosmology has profound influence on our national morals and our national politics. The great apostasy from God in the 21st century has its foundation in false cosmology. And there are ideological reasons for the rise of the new immoral barbarians in America. So, if we're to work at repairing, or rather redeeming, the culture, we have to understand and deal with erroneous worldviews. We're wasting our time straightening up the chairs on the deck of the Titanic when there's a huge hole in the bottom of the ship that needs patching. And that can be a real problem in Christian activism. Trying to remedy the bad fruit without changing the root. Trying to reverse socialism or feminism or infanticide or statism or LGBT morality without getting at the source. Proverbs 21:22, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. You have to lay the axe at the root of the foundation. So that is why we should be interested in some of these overarching worldviews, rather than simply jumping from one news story to the next news story. Additionally, knowing biblical cosmology is crucial in our personal evangelism, because one of the first questions we get is, who is God and how did he make the world? You have to get past the first four words in the Bible before you can go on. In the beginning, God. To start off, let's think about the relationship of one's cosmology to one's morality. Consider that 400 years ago, give or take a few hundred years, if you were in academia or in government, and you didn't believe in God, you were considered foolish. But in the 21st century, the situation has reversed. So that today, if you do believe in God, you're considered foolish. Simple-minded. What changed? Well, your typical secularist will say, what changed was the advent of modern science, and hence people became less superstitious. And to that, the Christian would respond, yes, there was the advent of modern science. But because modern science was so primitive, misinformed, still in the kindergarten stage, it gave rise to a new mythology that natural forces can create everything we see. And so for the last 200 years, that mythology has taken over the modern world. But here is what you need to appreciate. As science is becoming more advanced, that mythology is beginning to crumble. The case for God is actually becoming stronger through science, through natural revelation, what God reveals about himself through nature. And that's Psalm 19. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the works of his hands. And that's Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. So remember, true science is not on the side of the atheists, but on the side of the theists. And the better, more advanced science becomes, the more it's going to lead people to a knowledge of God. So here's the classic illustration. There was a community of mice who lived in the bottom of a piano. The mice heard beautiful music emanating from the sky. Some mice said that the music came from a master musician. Other mice said, no, there is no intelligence involved. The music comes from natural occurrences. And the argument continued until some of the educated mice decided to climb up further into the piano to see if they could discover the source of the music. And these educated mice returned saying that they had discovered the source. Hammers hitting on strings were making the music. And in their little minds, this naturalistic explanation disproved the existence of the musician. But nevertheless, some of the mice did not believe that the naturalistic explanation was sufficient to account for the music. And they continued to believe in the master musician. The music could only be made by intelligence. And the moral of the story is that these academic mice didn't go high enough. They mistook their knowledge of the particulars as the particulars being sufficient enough to explain first cause, which is easy to do because a little knowledge is dangerous. And a little bit of knowledge can cloud the mind with great pride. So let me add a little bit to this timeless illustration. After about 200 years of research, these academic mice discovered that there were forces moving the hammers that couldn't be explained, and that these hammers and strings were designed and finely tuned in such a way that they could not be explained as having occurred by natural causes. And so these academic mice were beginning to experience a worldview crisis. And yet, despite these new discoveries, these academic mice began more tenaciously to hold to their myth of naturalism. And that's what we're experiencing today. Science has reached a point where the naturalistic assumptions of secular intellectuals are in a crisis. New discoveries are reviving the classical proofs for God. And I will conclude with more to say about that. But what I would like for us to first think about is how the Christian Western worldview was converted from theism to atheism. How did we get from the Christian scientist Isaac Newton to Charles Darwin? In 1687, Newton published his Principia, explaining the planetary motions of the solar system, and he made references to God being the ultimate force behind the force. 100 years later, in 1799, a French physicist by the name of Laplace published a treatise on the mechanics of the celestial bodies. But in Laplace's piece, he implied that everything we see can be explained in terms of natural forces without God. And from this point on, philosophers and scientists began to explain the universe in terms of naturalistic forces, like the mice in the piano. But there was still this problem of explaining the origin of biological life. Then along comes Charles Darwin, who put out the theory that life could spontaneously generate out of chemicals, given enough time and chance, through the medium of mutation and natural selection. Chemicals could create life all by themselves. And so now atheists had a biological cosmology to explain away God. As Richard Dawkins once said, Darwin made atheism respectable. Another revolution in the West took place in 1776 with Immanuel Kant's book, The Critique of Pure Reason. In that book, Kant attempted to rationally refute all of the classical arguments for the existence of God, the cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, and the anthropological argument. Kant attempted to prove that the existence of God could not be deduced by human reason or by empiricism. And of course, that contradicted Paul's whole case in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what had been made. And also, this contradicted Paul's whole case before the Athenian philosophers, that the existence of God can be deduced, and so every man is without excuse. But Kant's work superficially and seductively convinced many people that God was outside the realm of investigation, that God's fingerprint could not be found. So modern man in the 19th century took down the two main arguments for God. The cosmological argument, the argument from cause. For something to be, there must be a cause. But scientists came to believe that nature itself could be the cause. God was no longer necessary. Then also the teleological argument, the argument from design. Every design has a designer, but now Darwin had explained that nature can design life itself. Now, again, realize these discoveries in the 19th century were not sufficient to explain life, but they were presented as a sufficient explanation. And that's partially why there has been this seismic ideological shift in the modern world. Before the 17th century, to disbelieve in the existence of God was to commit intellectual suicide before the world. But by the 20th century, to believe in the existence of God was to commit intellectual suicide before the world. Now, it wasn't as if there weren't any atheists in the 18th century, or the 17th century, or previous centuries. There were plenty of unbelievers, but they had to keep their mouth shut. They begrudgingly accepted the existence of God. As we read in Psalm 66:3, say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feign or fake obedience to you. But in the 19th century, once God could be explained away in cosmology and in biology, God could be removed from every aspect of human experience. Science, business, philosophy, ethics, politics. And so what do we get? Marxism and humanism and positivism and existentialism and relativism and pluralism. Because without God, anything is permissible. And so now we live in an atheistic, post-Christian world where some people hold to remnants of Christian morality. Now here's a question. Is it really all about cosmology? Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis has a book out called Already Gone, Why Your Kids Will Quit Church and What You Can Do to Stop It. And in that book, he makes a case that everything from drug use to sexual immorality is the result of a wrong worldview, beginning with a wrong cosmology that says there's no God. Or at least you can't be sure there is a God. So since God is not verifiable, he is irrelevant in politics and morals. So if we're going to turn America around, we're going to have to begin by teaching the next generation a God-centered cosmology and biology. Do you agree? Well, it's the old chicken and the egg problem. Did the bad cosmology produce sin, or did people already want to sin, And so they just found their excuse by adopting a cosmology of naturalistic materialism. If atheistic cosmology is just the excuse, changing the cosmology is not going to help. The unbelievers will simply find some other excuse. They may actually begin to believe in a higher power, but they'll just define him as Baal. Well, the best answer is Romans chapter 1, where Paul does explain that the abandonment of God is the first step a society takes into depravity. Even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks. Then society descended into immoral perversions. And then Paul lists all sorts of other sins, being filled with unrighteousness and wickedness and greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, their gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, proud, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. All because people abandoned their knowledge of God. So a social acknowledgement of God as the lawgiver and the judge does keep a people in check, so that the image of God in them is less destroyed, and so that they're more prepared to hear the gospel. God is the most important premise for building your life and worldview. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a return to God and his moral standards will require or be accompanied by a return to a creation cosmology. Well, is that possible? It's not only possible, but it's actually happening. The foundation of atheistic naturalism is falling apart as more and more scientific discoveries are being made. For example, what was the greatest discovery in 1929 that overturned the foundation of atheism? It was the Big Bang theory that the universe had a beginning when Edwin Hubble proved the theory of George Lemaître that the universe is expanding from a point of singularity. It had a beginning. Now, before this time, atheists were content that the universe itself was the eternal self-existent being that caused life on Earth. And originally, it was the atheists themselves who objected to the Big Bang theory because it opened the door to the Genesis explanation. But eventually, they couldn't deny the empirical evidence. And so this discovery that the universe had a beginning revived the cosmological argument because science proved that the universe is not eternal, it was caused. The second great discovery in the 20th century was the discovery of DNA. That biological systems are not simple, as previously assumed. They contain vast amounts of information like a supercomputer. And information science is proving that such a design, such information, could never take place by random mutation. Natural forces aren't sufficient. In fact, most mutations are negative. Natural forces are more likely to degrade code than to improve the coding. Even if you have one step forward, you're always taking four steps backwards. If anything, organisms are moving from functionality to non-functionality. There is a de-evolution. So the rug has been pulled out from the naturalistic explanation for the origin of life. And the old teleological argument that the intellectuals thought they had disproven in the 19th century is alive and well. A design must have a designer. Intelligence means an intelligent creator. So here's the question. With these advances in science, why then is atheism, the secular worldview, and moral relativism doing so well? It could be explained by a time lag. How long did it take society to change after Kant and Laplace and Darwin put forth their naturalistic works? 100 to 150 years. And a case could be made that the atheists and the evolutionists today are still working off of old scientific assumptions and foundations. And a new generation may arise, refuting the mythology of the old science. And a new generation will be forced to acknowledge a theistic worldview based upon science itself. Now, I was recently talking with a friend of mine about this the other day, and he immediately understood what this meant. He said, well, then all of these televangelists who are predicting that the apocalypse will begin tomorrow may have to wait another 1,000 years. There may be first another Reformation. Well, I agreed with him that this might be true, but consider also it may be too late for this new generation of pagans. In the justice of God, they might have to pay the price for their immorality, their infanticide, and they will destroy the earth, as it says in the book of the Revelation. But notice this. In the end, God is going to show that mankind will rebel against God, even though their worldview has been disproved by science. That they, in the rebellion, will be flying in the face not only of written revelation, but also natural revelation. But nevertheless, through all this, God's revelation will save some. So let me conclude with a testimony of Frank Tipler, professor of mathematical physics, from his book, The Physics of Immortality. When I began my career as a cosmologist some 20 years ago, I was a convinced atheist. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that one day I would be writing a book purporting to show that the central claims of the Judeo-Christian theology are in fact true. That these claims are straightforward deductions of the laws of physics as we now understand them, and I have been forced into these conclusions by the inexorable logic of my own special branch of physics. Unquote. And the testimony of George Greenstein, an American astronomer, in his book, The Symbiotic Universe, Life and Mind of the Cosmos. He writes, as we survey all of the evidence, the thought insistently arises that some supernatural agency, or rather agent, must be involved. Is it possible that suddenly, without intending to, we have stumbled upon scientific proof of the existence of a supreme being? Much to think about here. Next week, I plan to continue with some biblical exposition concerning the age of the earth. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to download it is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can also send me an email, and I will put you on my email list, and I will send you out a one-paragraph synopsis of each upcoming program with a link. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to have more confidence in the truth of your word, that you will always be vindicated in the end, that God will be proven true and every man a liar, Romans chapter 3. And with this confidence, increase the boldness of our witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.